Here we go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We are the Knights!
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello out there. Welcome to the Knights of Nerditude podcast, podcast for all things nerd. I am your host, Sean. I'm here via the Skype hotline with...
Wow, this guys. Is big boy shit, Sam.
Merry Max Day, it's John.
And Mystery Machine Chris.
All right. So we've got a loaded podcast for you guys this week. We got some news. We've got two movies for those who've been keeping track. We're up to Fast 5 now. Sam's been reviewing the Fast and Furious movies. So we're up to the fifth installment, which I believe all of us have seen. So this has been a fun trend, all of us actually watching these movies. But first of all, we have a movie that came out 2 weeks ago, Scoob, which I would like to pass off the torch to our resident Scooby-Doo expert, Chris.
Oh, boy.
I would like you to take over.
So Scoob is the new movie from the Warner Brothers studio that was, as Sean said, released 2 weeks ago straight to DVD.
Video on demand.
Video on demand. Or DVD. You could probably buy a DVD too. Anyway. So it is the, upteenth movie in the Scooby-Doo film franchise, because there are almost 30 of them at this point. And for those of you who don't know, Scooby-Doo is part of a cartoon series that was created in 1969 by Hanna-Barbera. And
I love how you know the exact year, like when it was created.
Yeah. So 1969, it was Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? And it follows this gang of teenagers on various adventures, and they're solving mysteries. And it's pretty much been consistent. The show has been consistent for, I don't know, since 1969. There were a couple of years in between. But it was up until now, and we've had various movies throughout the years, from animation to 3D to puppets and live action, and we're getting another animated movie called Scoob that came out this year. And it follows this, quite frankly, it's just a generic stupid plot where Scooby-Doo and Shaggy get, if I remember correctly, because I've seen the movie 17 million times already. I'll explain that in a minute, but there's a ghost that's trying to unleash this evil upon the world, and Scooby-Doo and Shaggy get kidnapped, and they don't get kidnapped, but they sign on with this superhero who tries to save the world, and yada yada yada, and so on and so forth. Very generic plot for this movie. There are, throughout the years, the Scooby-Doo TV shows and the movies have had various changes in animation and voices, and people who have actually voiced the characters. This movie is, it's a new animation. I think a couple of the voice characters have done previous roles.
Well, Frank Welker is Scooby-Doo.
But
this is the first animated one in a long time that he did not voice Fred.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. And then there's like introductions. So Mark Wahlberg and is in this movie, as well as Ken Jeong. He's the robot dog, but it's just, it's just really funny to see those people playing those roles. And the movie itself is just a very standard Scooby-Doo movie. You're not going to shoot for the moon, and the bar is set so incredibly low that it's you're not going to... It's never really going to be a flop. I don't think any of these movies are ever going to really be a flop. The movie itself, the plot is very boring. The acting is very mediocre. The voice acting is not great. There's just nothing really solid about this movie. I can't wrap my head around this movie. I've seen this movie once. I've sat down and watched this movie once. My daughter has sat down and watched this movie at least 25 times. And it's been out for 2 weeks. I see this movie twice a day, every day. It's unreal. It's unreal. On work days, because you have to throw something on. But you know, it's bad. I've heard this movie so many freaking times. It's unreal, and I still can't remember some of the plot to it.
All right. Well, I can help fill in because I watched major, it.
I don't really care about the plot.
First of all, it's not a ghost who's doing anything that's terrorizing the world. It's Dick Dastardly.
Does that sound familiar?
So this movie sets up the Hanna-Barbera universe.
No!
Yes.
No,
yes, it does.
No.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it does.
It does. So Dick Dastardly...
In 1968, there was this show called...
Wacky Races.
Wacky Racers, and it was Dick Dastardly.
Yeah, he's the bad guy.
And Muttley, yes. The dog, are the villains of that show.
So they brought that back for this movie.
Yeah,
thanks for doing this.
but this movie was so poorly reviewed that hopefully it doesn't.
It doesn't matter if it makes money. It makes money.
The thing was, it was cheap to make, so it might make money. Yeah. That's the only problem. There's so many flaws with this, and there's one. There's one flaw that's huge in this movie that anybody who's watched Scooby-Doo throughout the years. Particularly myself. I'm pretty sure the first TV show I've ever watched in my life was Scooby-Doo.
Can I guess what the big flaw is?
Go ahead.
Scooby-Doo's breed.
No, honestly.
Because that's a big flaw, because Scooby-Doo is a Great Dane. And he is a Great Dane at all. And then, so the big thing is Scooby-Doo in this movie is related to, I forget the dog's name, but Alexander the Great's dog.
Yes.
Like, which Alexander the Great's dog was a mastiff mix and not a Great Dane. So how is Scooby related to that dog if Scooby-Doo is supposed to be a purebred Great Dane?
So you don't think, like, I don't know, thousands of years of breeding might change his breed?
No. You're right, though. That's entirely inaccurate. But probably the worst part about this whole thing, and I've seen almost all of the Scooby-Doo movies.
Oh boy.
He talks way too much in this movie. Okay. Way too much in this movie.
He carries too much of the load.
Scooby-Doo is not really talk. He says words here and there, but in this movie he's got full sentences.
Yeah, he does talk a lot.
What stands out for me is this one scene where the caveman is saying, "I'm going to talk slowly so you can understand what I say."
Scooby-Doo, by the way, John, it's Captain Caveman he's talking to. You don't know who Captain Caveman is, and you're a Red Sox fan. Johnny Damon's nickname was Captain Caveman.
Okay.
He was, you know, basically like a big ball of hair, and he carried a club, and he was a superhero.
He wasn't the captain, though, so. That was Jason Baratek.
Anyway, he says that, and then Scooby-Doo says, "We can understand you perfectly." And I'm, number one, that's five or six words too many. And throughout these movies, it's always been Shaggy pretty much saying the statement, and then Scooby-Doo saying one or two words after that, and that's it. And that's what's worked real well. Now they have a talking dog that is literally a talking dog, when every single show and movie has essentially made it so that way he's kind of just a commentator with no full sentences. It's all, they're always like poking fun at him being a talking dog.
Yeah. It's like he's like the clown in like a Shakespearean play or whatever. He's just kind of commenting on it.
Sure, sure. But it's unreal that they're actually, I don't want to say they're unreal. Obviously, not many places you can go to this. It's just really annoying that he talks way too much in this movie.
He did. He talked way too much in this movie. I can back you up on that. I felt like he talked a lot.
And you know what? You know what's even worse is that I went back after this movie and I watched almost all the movies again.
Yes.
And it's just, I can't. I don't know. They just. This is bottom of the barrel right here. Wow. Bottom of the barrel.
Wow.
Just an absolute disgrace of a Scooby-Doo movie.
Yes. And that's said after this too. Me and my daughter started watching the Scooby-Doo Netflix series.
Mm-hmm.
It's not awful. It's like 22 minutes long, which is kind of perfect for me. And then
let alone your daughter.
No, it's kind of perfect for me because number one, Netflix has that autoplay.
Yeah.
She can watch the next one, but it's good for me because I can actually sit down and kind of follow some of the stuff because it's only 22 minutes long. You know?
Such a dense plot.
Well, after you've seen as many episodes and stuff that I have, you kind of mix up some of the things,
right?
Some of the villains or costumes and things like that. Oh, even better. They tarnished the intro.
You didn't like that?
The intro, it would have been nice if it was a better movie. The intro at the beginning was basically a blend of the first half was the 1969 original intro.
Yeah.
And then they started doing a whole bunch of later ones.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is awesome. This is cool. And then all of a sudden, the bad movie happens, and you're just like, God, this is poor. This is so poor.
It's movies like Scoob that I remember that the idea to actually do the podcast was yours originally, Chris. And, I kind of understand why, because, you're not going to fire this up at just the water cooler.
Right. But
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
All right, a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not getting away with it at all, 10 being totally getting away with it. How much would the bad guy have gotten away with it if not for those meddling kids?
The correct answer is 10.
Yeah. Yeah. So really quick, I will go through my review of this movie. I'm not going to be as harsh as Chris. I guess I'll focus on some of the highlights of this movie that I enjoyed rather than looking at the low. Although I want to start with the first low being Will Forte as Shaggy. Did not like it. It just sounded like Will Forte with a raspy voice. And the fact that they did Matthew Lillard so dirty on this movie, like I feel really bad for the guy. So Lillard was Shaggy from the live action movies and then basically took over the Shaggy role for everything after.
I'm not gonna lie, his voice in Shaggy was kind of good. I liked it.
Yeah, like Lillard's.
Yeah, yeah.
He does a great Shaggy. Will Forte as Shaggy though, I hated it. I absolutely hated his voice acting for this movie.
I wasn't a fan.
I like Will Forte. He's a funny guy, but I just don't think he was the right fit for this. I wish they had kept Matthew Lillard. But that being said, actually loved Mark Wahlberg as Blue Falcon.
Right. I like that.
I really liked him as Blue Falcon. And Jason Isaacs as Dick Dastardly. I actually thought being the over-the-top villain that he's supposed to be, I think Jason Isaacs did an amazing job. I really liked his performance as Dick Dastardly.
Sure. I did find it fun to have Simon Cowell in there as well.
Yeah, like the two. Okay, Simon Cowell looked weird, right?
Oh, absolutely. But like, it's just, you know who it was.
Right, but his face looked weird. It was odd.
Yeah, it was like square and fat.
Yeah, I did not like it. I think, Zac Efron as Fred was actually like enjoyable, which I wasn't expecting.
Okay, funniest part was when the mystery machine blew up.
Yeah.
He takes the shield.
Oh, yeah.
And you bust out the ascot. Puts the war paint on and runs.
Oh, my God. I like the subtle gay joke, I guess, after he meets the hot cop. And then it turns out to be like, Dick Dastardly.
So
he's like,
I have so many mixed feelings.
See, like, there were parts where I actually, like, laughed out loud at this movie. But, yeah, I feel like as a Scooby-Doo movie, I've basically, other than the movies, I've seen some of the movies, but I've seen, like, all of the show. And, unfortunately, the Scrappy-Doo years, I've seen all those episodes as well. But, yeah, no, like, I do feel like it's...
Did you see the show without Fred and... Daphne?
Yes.
Or Fred and
Velma. Fred and Velma.
Fred and Velma, yes.
Yes, I have seen that.
Okay, that has to be in the...
Yeah, but, I mean, all in all, I mean, what they were aiming to do by expanding the Hanna-Barbera universe, I mean, the way that they use, like, Blue Falcon, Dick Dastardly, Captain Caveman, even at the end, you see, like, Megilla Gorilla and, like, a bunch of other characters from, the Hanna-Barbera shows.
Oh, you just need the Jetsons, the Flintstones.
Yeah, we'll wait on those. But even like Hong Kong Fooey was made a short appearance when they were in the arcade. They pushed like a video game of his up against the door. So it's like little things like that. So I mean, I like the direction that they're trying to go in. I just feel like this first step was a bit of a stumble.
A bit?
Yeah, I would say it's a bit.
That's an understatement. That's an understatement. Okay. If you can think of it, top three Scooby-Doo movies.
Zombie Island is number one.
Okay.
God.
Yeah, I know it's... I didn't ask
I don't watch before. A lot of movies, like Scooby-Doo movies. I watched a lot of the TV shows. Just never a fan of the movies. Because they were so hard to watch.
What is your favorite Scooby-Doo
Well, I was just going to say, have you guys seen that like weird like low-budget one that's online that's like a lot of like Daphne and Velma like exploring each other? And, like,
I wouldn't be surprised if there's something out there.
If there's something? You mean like if... It's verbose, I'll just say that.
All right. So any final thoughts on Scoob? Do you want a sequel or a spinoff?
No.
I'm okay with a spinoff. I'm all okay with the universes that they need to like go into, this is the least utilized, so I'm okay with that, like WB trying to like milk this. Because you got some great characters.
I kind of want them to go back to animation. Not the 3D stuff that they're doing, but the 2D kind of... Oh, yeah, it would be 2D.
Yeah.
They go back to that and don't ever do a backstory again. Don't ever touch it. When they're kids and stuff, don't do that. They've already done that with a whole bunch of other shows and episodes and stuff. Don't. I didn't need to see Scooby and Shaggy's relationship form. Yeah. And it didn't do it justice, given that you don't have the original voices to do it with, you know?
Mm.
Don't do this. All right, rating.
Yeah, go ahead. You first. Yeah,
5.5.
I was gonna go with like a 6, even.
Okay,
so that's 3 out of 5 Scooby snacks.
Yeah. I'll go 3 out of 5 Scooby snacks. All right. So, moving on. Let's go right into news. So HBO Max news dropped. John, do you want to report on this?
HBO, this is a launch day, man, for HBO Max, which is it's hard to describe. It's like, if you have HBO, you get all HBO stuff, but then there's also more, and there's stuff from, like, Adult Swim and CNN and Turner Classic Movies on there as well, and then just other Warner Brothers stuff, but interestingly, not all of it. Like, just still, like, another selection of stuff that's, you know, Warner Brothers, which is the, you know, parent company of HBO. I don't understand. So, for me, HBO is, like, possibly 1A with Netflix of, like, things I would get if I actually had to, like, you know, start picking in between all these.
Okay.
So, like, I would just have HBO. But I can't imagine a world where you have HBO and say you want to go out and buy this. So I guess here's what I'm saying. And I feel the same way about, like, Peacock and not so much Disney Plus. Disney Plus, like, sort of makes sense more because it's just, it's all Disney.
Yeah.
And it's like, I could see someone being like, yes, I want all Disney stuff. They're, like, been the go-to thing for, like, family entertainment for, you know, 70 years. Like, okay, I'll keep buying it. I don't get, like, these, like, things. Like, I don't get HBO Max or the CBS All Access so much. It's like, because it's all, I mean, essentially what's happened is all these, you know, media companies have now made, like, streaming verticals. And, you know, it's not as if they're not putting a lot into it. There's not a lot of original content on HBO Max today, but they are developing shows for that as well. In addition to just boosting HBO in general, too. Like, they, you know, talked about, like, doubling the production output on HBO, which, you know, is another thing. But it's just like, I don't know, it's just, it seems like we're running around in circles because, you know, okay, I'm not buying cable because it's bloated and there's too much crap I don't want to watch. So now I have to buy, like, 5 different streaming packages.
Yeah, and now it's more expensive to do that.
Right, and there's, you know, so much shit on those that, like, I'm never going to watch either.
Yeah.
You know, you know, like, I might, in theory, want HBO Max. There might be stuff on Netflix I want to watch. There might be stuff on Apple Plus I want to watch. You know, in theory, not reality. That's, I mean, we could talk about that one. That, I mean, the amount of money they've thrown at that and have gotten absolutely nowhere.
Mm.
Like, people kind of talk about The Morning Show, like, in passing. But other than that, man, they spent so much goddamn money and got nowhere at Apple Plus. But Apple TV Plus, but that's a topic for another day. No, I don't know. I just found it interesting that, like, okay, it's another thing.
Yeah.
And it's not like you have, like, a shitload of movies either. Like, there's more stuff. Like I said, it's not all of them. Like, the first thing I did was, because I knew just off the top of my head, because he's only made, recently, like, 6 movies or whatever. Like, Stanley Kubrick did a lot of stuff with Warner Brothers, like, you know, the last half of his career. So I was like, oh, okay, let me watch Eyes Wide Shut, and it's not on there. So, again, like, we're just back to the same spot where it's like it's a rotating catalog. And, like, it was funny because they have a Leaving Soon page, and you'd think it was just all HBO movies. I mean, but for service that just launched, and it's like, no, Braveheart was up there. And it's like, where is it going? You just got here. So I found that kind of curious, and I just curious, like, how you got, because, I mean, I'm, you know, I get HBO through my parents, so and they're on Cox, so they have it. Verizon has it. And actually, if I was buying it through Comcast, I think they announced today that they're having it as well.
So this already dropped.
Yeah, no.
When did it drop?
That's why I said Mary Max Day.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, and if you have the HBO Now app, I think this has been replaced by it.
Yeah.
I think what essentially this is people just kind of look at the writing on the wall that, like, streaming is going to be the thing. Like, it's going to be the preferred choice of people our age, and then eventually the people our age will be, you know, our parents' age or, you know, older. And, you know, you got to get in now and try to, like, lock people in now, or else you're never going to have a chance once everything becomes more flushed out. But now, at this point, it doesn't make sense. Like, it just seems like there's all this shit on, no ability to actually watch any of it. I mean, like, not that there's no ability to, but it's like, I'm never going to, like, watch 90% of this crap.
Yeah.
Even if I wanted to.
It's I'm 100% with you at the point where it's just getting too out of hand. If I want it, the reason why I have Disney Plus is because there's everything that's there that Disney owns right there.
Yeah,
there's it's, nice. It's not leaving. It's not
it's
going.
It's the full anywhere. Library too. Like
it,
it's
the full, like they're slowly adding to it, which is really still, nice. Like
yeah. Right.
But HBO Max is just like some of the Warner Brothers stuff. It's
yeah,
not like,
and it's, right. And it's you're right. It's got the Leaving Soon thing. And I already spent $15 a month for HBO Go. I don't want to spend HBO. I mean, I really do want the Harry Potter movies at my fingertips, but it really makes me question whether or not HBO Max is going to have them forever.
Right.
So yeah. I'd rather simply just buy the bundle set or whatever, just to have it downloaded streaming on Prime or something, and then just watch it. But it's just, if there's a threat of them leaving, like Netflix has threats of stuff that they rent, essentially, leaving.
Like, Mad Men, they say, is, like, the contract is up in June or something like that. So I'm, like, I frequently go through rewatches of that thing. So it's like, yeah, fuck, better get it now.
Did you see what's on Netflix now? Star Trek. All the Star Trek stuff is on Netflix.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So whatever they did, that was a big CBS, and that was a huge draw for CBS All Access. But now Netflix is, you know, swinging their, you know what, around and just dumping cash everywhere to try. They lost Friends, so they're gonna try to get something.
That's where it ended up, by the way, is HBO Max.
Oh, did? Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, it's just if people keep trading all these things, it's just going to be TV again, and before you know it, you're going to be paying $160, $170 bucks again for a month.
And that's just for TV. That doesn't include internet.
No. It's the same thing. Like, in 30 years, it's going to be...
Oh, well, yeah.
You know,
this is what TV is.
Yeah. This is what TV is, and you're still dropping $170 bucks a month on...
Yeah, which is insane.
I feel like this is unsustainable. Like, they can't sustain this like the way cable can sustain it.
I mean, cable's, though, going away. I mean, like, it's not... And, you know, most of it is the subscriber. It's not, you know, I don't know what the split is like with revenue, but it's mostly the subscriber now. You know, the carriage fee you pay each month that, you know, doesn't actually get broken out by channel on your bill, but, you know, you still pay a couple bucks here and there for each channel.
I think we can all assume that all of us still have cable only for one reason.
Right.
And that's the live sports.
Right now.
And that's the live sports, and it's not even on right now. You're right.
Yeah. I don't know. I watch a lot of HGTV.
That's also on Hulu.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just like throwing it on, being like, "What's on? Oh, Hometown. Cool."
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you can get it on a streaming service.
I know, but it's different between throwing on a channel and having it as background noise, or going on a subscription kind of thing and seeking out that show and then turning it on as a background.
I know what you mean, though. All these streaming things, they need to, like, throw on.
Yeah, they need, like, a random thing. Like, a random button. Or, like random what you think I would like. Like, let the device choose.
It's not like they don't all have a for you.
Exactly. Thing. Like, an algorithm that knows.
They all do.
Like, one of those, like, feeling lucky buttons Google has.
Yeah. I would love that on Netflix.
You know, go on, like, Spotify or Pandora and you make your own radio station, you know?
Yeah. Because honestly, like, how great would it be on Netflix to have, like, feeling lucky button, but you'd be like, are you in the mood for a movie or a TV show? You'd be like, just give me a TV show I've never watched on this. And then it'll throw on a show, like a random show that you probably would never click on. And, you know, you watch 10 minutes of it and maybe you're hooked. Maybe you're just like, it's good background noise. You know, it'd be interesting.
I'll tell you, I had a very interesting experience over the weekend. Because I was watching the Tiger Woods Phil Mickelson thing, the golf thing, and at the end of it, they started playing Snowpiercer on TNT, and it was the second episode. And part of me was like, "Oh my god, this is so refreshing to jump into a show and it not be the pilot episode." Because do you guys have pilot fatigue at all? Because I definitely do.
Oh yeah.
Like, they do the same exact bullshit in like every single show now.
Yeah.
They'll do the like, you know, flashback thing where, like, they, like, you know, the thing starts, like, at the end or in the middle, and then you go back to, like, earlier in the day.
Yeah.
Or you have, like, the main character doing some kind of fucking monologue that, like, you know, personifies or, you know, really, like, you know, typifies, like, who they are. And it's just like, man, this is just so fucking draining. So, yeah, I jumped in on the second episode, and I'm like, oh, this is nice. I can figure this out. It's fucking Snowpiercer. It's not that complex to begin with. I mean, I've seen the movie, so, like, obviously that helps. But, like, I feel like there's a lot here.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert for the show. I don't think it's great. Already picked up for a second season, though, I guess.
Jeez.
Yeah, they already picked it up.
We'll review it a little bit better next time, I think. Definitely watch a couple episodes, because we had a lot on our plate this week.
Yeah.
So, sticking with HBO Max, news came out over the weekend about HBO Max, a movie coming to HBO Max next year. A big budget, $30 million it's costing them to make. It's the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League. It is officially coming out.
Yes, this will totally fix the movie.
Yeah, Morbid curiosity, though. We're totally watching this, right?
Like, oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I need to know why it's going to be so much better. Because every person involved with this movie was like, oh, the Snyder Cut is amazing. I've seen it. It looks so much better. Like, how?
Yeah, they were probably saying that because they never thought we could see the light of day.
So oh, no, like, they were all pushing for it.
We didn't fuck up. It was actually really good. And then somebody else did.
But yeah, so going back, this is going to cost $30 million to make, to finalize, I should say. $30 million. Which, like, there's some, you know, bad, low-budget movies that cost more than that, or even less than that. Like, it's just amazing that it's going to cost them $30 million to finish this movie. On top of the fact that it cost Warner Brothers, basically, their break-even point was $750 million.
What streaming service is this going?
HBO Max.
Yeah, yeah. That's how they're going to make their money.
Yeah, but it's not until next year, so we have to wait an entire year. I mean, it's good that they announced it, but, like, I wish they were like, it's coming out next month, not like, it's coming out next year.
Yeah.
You got to wait a year now. Because I feel like the buzz for it is, it's definitely going to die down. And I mean, it's going to end up coming out and we'll be like, oh, yeah, that's right. That was happening.
It'll ebb and flow. It's going to die down by the end of this year, and then it'll pick back up.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. It's just, I think everybody's at home and nobody has anything better to do than to ask for Zack Snyder's Snyder Cut.
Yeah, but so. They were doing that before quarantine, which was
yeah, but now it's much yeah. more vocal because there's nothing else on. There's no other news aside from bad news. And then, you know.
Yeah. On the same kind of wave, though, with the Snyder Cut, the director of Suicide Squad came out and basically said that it would basically cost almost nothing for him to re-edit Suicide Squad the way he wanted it. So he's kind of like throwing that out, like, somebody want to,
yes.
Hey, yeah, I'm reeling it in. It looks nice and tasty. It's going to cost like nothing to do. Anybody want to watch this movie too? Like, which, not going to lie.
Just keep re-editing bad movies.
It's fine. Sam, Warner Brothers somehow has to turn their DC universe around. Like, they put all their money into these like core five characters and none of them made the money. Well, sorry, Wonder Woman made the money. And Aquaman somehow made them a ton of money. Like,
you know, Aquaman was good in all the wrong ways.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
How was, by the way, you know, getting to the movie we're going to talk about later, which we don't have to get into now, how has Momoa not been in a Fast movie?
Right?
Wouldn't he be yeah. perfect, though?
Don't
tempt him.
Don't say anything.
I feel like if you have two gigantic Polynesians in the same movie, the movie will explode from awesomeness.
And I'm not gonna lie, there were so many lookalikes for Jason Momoa in the Hobbs and Shaw one. So,
oh, I bet. Yeah.
Oh boy. All right. So sticking with Warner Brothers and stuff, John, you recently watched Joker.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of a rewatch.
Can I stay in the streaming? I'm sorry.
Oh,
streaming,
yeah,
the streaming real quick. Yeah. So, just tell me how weird it is and whether or not I'm allowed to. There's that new Jedi Temple challenge game show that looks exactly like Legend of the Hidden Temple.
Oh, yeah.
Coming out the YouTube channel. It's a kid's thing. Am I allowed to watch that?
Yes, because I'm probably going to watch judged? It.
I mean, you know, make sure you get your pants on, but other than that, I don't see why...
Yeah, no, I would say, yeah. Is it coming out strictly
comes
for
out
YouTube?
Wednesday, next week on YouTube.
But is like the first episode free and then after?
All the episodes are on YouTube channel.
Are they YouTube, but are they the paid YouTube or are they like with commercials? Like,
oh, I don't know.
Yeah, because that's key.
Oh, it's a YouTube TV or whatever.
It'll be free for everybody to check out.
All right, good. Yeah, so
that's not on Disney Plus. That's so weird.
No, it was originally thought to, but they moved it to the YouTube channel. All
right.
So you know it's going to be good.
Yeah. Hey, YouTube is good, Sam. Puts out some fine programming, like Cobra Kai and anything PewDiePie's doing.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It's just
sorry.
You're staying in the news and the streaming thing. And it comes out next week. So.
All right. Good to know. So John, like once again, you rewatched Joker. You had just some some thoughts to throw out there.
Yeah, so I think when I saw it the first time, I don't know what my expectations really were going into it. Like, I just found the whole thing, like, so incredible that they made it or whatever that, you know. And then I watched it, and I was like, eh, this is all right. It's kind of slow.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I feel any differently about that. But I think I just kind of, like, took a step back and was like, God damn, dude, they made this movie. Like, this is so fucking crazy that, like, this is a DC comic book movie compared to, like, all the other stuff, let alone all the Marvel stuff we get. And I don't know. It was just kind of refreshing. And, I mean, you know, because there was a whole, like, baggage that came along with it that it's like, oh, is this the Enzo movie? Shit like that. Now that that's all passed.
Mm.
And granted, it's still very weird that, like, this won, what, 2 Oscars?
Yeah.
Like, and that there was essentially no discussion at all of anybody else for, like, best actor. Like, it was, like, right. Absolutely, like, Joaquin Phoenix. And don't get me wrong, he is very good in this, and it's almost certainly, too, like, a makeup call kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yeah, I just kind of look back at the whole thing and just stunned that, like, you know, Todd Phillips, like, made essentially, like, a, like, knockoff Scorsese movie set in the 70s, and it's the Joker.
He gave the Joker a background.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's so, like, specific to what it is. Like, it's he's redoing, like, King of Comedy with a little bit of Taxi Driver mixed in. Like, it's so weird that he took, like, very big topic, like almost exactly, like, scene by scene, like, recreations of, like, other movies. I was like, yeah, but what if it was the Joker?
I did rewatch this again, and it's the glaring thing was the leap between, like, rioting and, you know, oppress the poor and the wealthy.
It was the rich, yeah.
It was that, yeah. It was just such a leap. It really was. I don't think we talked about that enough, but it really, really was.
Mm. Yeah, and then, like, I was still so amped, though, for the scene where, like, Thomas Wayne dies. Like, because you just know it's going to happen. As soon as you see them, you're like, oh, fuck, obviously. And it's so, like, it was already a cliche. Like, yeah. It was such a giant cliche before this movie came out that it's like, we have to see it in every single fucking Batman movie.
And it's like, has nothing to do with Batman. It's got to be in there,
right? Like, even Suicide Squad.
Do you think there was ever a fight at the studio to not show that scene?
No,
because
I think it'd be the other way around. That it would be.
I think every exact.
Like, I don't include that, and then
yeah,
like we have to talk better.
That's what I was gonna say. I was gonna say all the fat cats at the studio are probably like, this needs to be shown.
That's what fans want.
We need to see it this time.
How will they know who Batman is without this scene?
How did they understand?
We've already implied that they're half brothers. So let's just solidify it and make sure we know that, you know.
That scene still remains the only time I remember I almost walked out of a movie theater. when they're really brothers. I was just like, go fuck yourself, movie. All right. Just like, this is so cliche, and thankfully they cleaned that up.
Yeah.
But it was just like, at the time, I'm like, really? I had higher standards for you,
baby. Mine was always the Martha incident in Batman v Superman.
Ooh, that one does hold a particularly high regard.
Yeah, but like
into worst like insert.
Like ever. I literally put my head in my hands and was like, well. If I wasn't here with somebody else, I probably would walk out of this movie right now.
Really? Because, like, yeah. I feel like at that point,
yeah.
If I had not walked out at that point, I'm in for the ride. At that point, it's like, this is exactly where this movie would go.
Dude, the ride started right at the beginning of that movie. It didn't involve Martha at all.
Yeah. Anyways, getting a little off topic.
I saw some of Justice League again, too, and it does not hold up any differently.
Well, at least you get the Snyder Cut.
Yeah, I know. It's coming. Hopefully he cuts out all the hacky Joss Whedon jokes.
You know what?
God, they're so
and
bad.
Like, the rest, they're like, you know what? Screw it. Superman had a mustache the whole time.
Like, yeah. Fuck you.
You know what's funny is that my rewatching of DC movies is non-existent. The only one that I'll maybe throw on is Suicide Squad, and that's usually just like on TNT or something.
Why? Man of Steel is actually pretty good.
But I'll never sit down and watch the other ones where it's just, it's you get the complete yang of it, and I'll watch any movie and from the MCU.
Yeah.
Three times in a row. I won't, you know, no stop. Just restart.
I honestly everything. Say Man of Steel gets too much crap. It's actually not a bad movie.
No.
Amazing score, too. Hans Zimmer, you know.
Yeah, I agree, but I don't know. It's just the DCEU is so...
No, it's bad. It's bad.
It's very unrewatchable.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of rewatching things, Chris... Apparently, did you recently sit down and rewatch these or the Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings? Oh, yes. Absolutely.
It's a big Warner Brothers night, man.
It is a Warner Brothers night. So John mentioned something last week. He's like, you don't even bother. You don't even think twice about buying movies anymore. You just do it.
Yeah.
And I started looking at like deals and discounts and stuff. And I saw the Lord of the Rings out there for like $10 a movie, which $30 for the trilogy.
That's not bad.
Not bad. Awful.
Yeah.
All the extended cuts.
Good.
I only bought extended cuts.
Good.
It's just, number one, first thing you notice is that when you search for the movie, the first one's out there, it's like 2 hours, 30 minutes. And then the extended cut is 3 hours, 55 minutes.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. It's just, the extended cuts are literally an hour and 20 minutes each. And I have watched all three of them, and I have no shame that I bought these movies either, because when I'm doing stuff around the house, like in my workshop, I'll just throw this on and just let it go. Lord of the Rings is the quintessential throw the movie on, do chores around the house.
Yeah, because you can pick up at any time. As long as you've seen it once, you can pick it up at any time and be like, oh, I know where we are. All right.
Exactly. So the thing I notice a lot is there are so many more things in the extended cuts that... are with the extended cuts, usually there's a lot of like junk you can throw away.
Oh yeah, like shit. Filler stuff that like not even character development, just like stupid things that just didn't work.
Absolutely. But
kind of like an extra explosion.
Yeah. Like simple things.
With these though, there's actual substance that's interesting.
Yes.
So Gimli, for example, just the top of my head, Gimli, when they were all in in the first movie, Fellowship, when they go into the woods after Gandalf dies, they meet the lady, and then they all get gifts.
Yeah,
you don't see the gifts in the extended version, except for Frodo. Frodo gets that little light.
You mean
thing.
In the theatrical?
In the theatrical.
Yeah. I'm sorry. In the extended version, you see Merry Pippin, you see Sam, and then you see Gimli.
Yeah.
And Gimli gets like three hairs.
Yeah, like a hair from her head. Yeah,
and it's just you don't see that in the extended. You're like, that's cool. And then the other two get like knives, and Sam gets rope and stuff. And it's just, everything is explained so much more. The whole brother relationship between what the hell is it? Sean Bean and his brother? That's like three movies long, and it all pans out that this brother relationship with their father is toxic.
That's like the whole second movie. Yeah, like the second movie, it deals with them like fighting in that city, like the rundown city, like going into detail about that. It's like, damn, like
you don't see it in the theatrical version, but and granted, you can get through the movie with it, but the extended one makes it 10 times better. Not to mention that weird relationship at the end with the Rohan lady and the brother.
Yeah.
You don't see that until you watch the extended edition.
Right.
Yeah, like you see them together at the, I don't know.
The wedding. The ceremony, whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, so they're fucking?
Yeah, right? And you don't see that after the battle, she gets really badly hurt, and then he's kind of there hanging out with her and talking with her and stuff like that. And it's just... You don't see it. It's I don't know. Yeah. It's just I never actually sat and watched in depth.
Yeah.
Whether or not I was watching the extended or the regular, and I'm pretty sure I've only seen the theatrical versions. I've seen the theatrical.
Yeah, I only own the extended cuts because that's the only version of these movies I will actually watch now, because it is far superior.
Yeah,
because of like all this character development they actually put in. they didn't cut out. You know?
It's just, it makes the world so much richer.
Yeah, and it shows that Peter Jackson understood the source material a lot more than if you watch The Hobbit, where you it was written on the fly, and he was just like, I don't know what I'm doing.
I wouldn't say he understood the source material. It's just he made sure that he expanded a story where he thought it was needed.
Well, he was trying to be as faithful to the story as possible.
Yeah, but that also translates into a movie that's less than 4 hours and 55 minutes.
I don't know. Have you read the Lord of the Rings books?
Actually, watching all these made me want to buy them.
Yeah.
But the problem is, there's if I was to buy a sci-fi book, I would want it to be different than what the movies are. These movies are very true to the books.
But that's the good thing.
So much more that's not even in there.
Exactly.
Okay, is there?
Right, oh, God,
I almost pulled the trigger and buying the box set, but...
Yeah, I've only read, half of The Hobbit, but comparing it to the movies I've seen, there's, so much more.
Oh, yeah, The Hobbit is so much better book-wise. Even the 1970s cartoon of The Hobbit is just far superior than the Peter Jackson movies.
It was so much more with the riddles.
Yeah,
you know? That was a big.
Maybe I will pull the trigger on the box set and get it. It's just cheap. It's only $16. It's only $20.
Yeah, but I would if you can get into those. I mean, there was the Silmarillion is huge. If you can get into that, that gets very.
Yeah, I'm gonna start with
that's very in the weeds.
Honestly, start with The Hobbit because it's probably an easier read. It's a children's book, but
I don't mind about reading that stuff.
Yeah, so it. But yeah,
one pro tip I have, and it's probably a little bit different with the streaming experience or the digital download experience, but. Watching the extended editions, and I've done this only once, and it was with you two guys, where you just watch a half of an extended edition each night for 6 nights in a row.
Yes.
Which worked out to one disc a night.
Yeah, it's an hour and a half roughly every night.
Right. Which is great. And it's funny because I think the original series is 6 books, right? It was condensed to 3 when they released it in the U.S. But it actually doesn't work perfectly, but it's decent.
I just remember the first two movies, the cut in between worked pretty well, but the cut for Return of the King is awful. Where they stop the discs.
Oh yeah, it's they're in the middle of the siege, right?
Yeah, and it's what are they called? Not the elephant. It's an elephant, but
the elephant.
What is it? Elephants?
I think it's elephants.
Yeah, but it's that thing is rearing up, coming down, and it's that scene, it cuts. It's
oh, really?
Yeah, it's a horrible cut. It did it better. But, yeah, no, I definitely prefer the extended cuts over the theatrical. I mean, it's Peter Jackson's greatest work of art he's ever done, and probably one of the greatest movies, especially series, of all time, so...
All right, let's move on.
All right.
How long, quick question on that, Chris? How is the CG holding up?
Not bad at all. I like it. But the picture quality of the movie as a whole has stayed the same. Mm-hmm. So HD, it's not, you're not going to get it in 1080p. It's 720. It's not 4K, nothing.
Oh, well, that's got to be just a matter of time, then.
Yeah, I think it's just the time. There's noticeable CG background, but...
They'll probably You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if we get one next year for the 20th anniversary. Get a 4K remaster.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
I would definitely,
I don't know. It's not... Things that are remastered like that, you can definitely tell that it has been touched up, and some of it looks bad.
I don't know, man. I disagree, dude. I got, and this wasn't just they gave you a 4K version, Coppola went in and fixed it up, but Apocalypse Now in 4K, fucking rocks. It looks really good. It looks a movie from that time period, but it's super clear.
I feel like movies that were made in that time period, if they were of that kind of cerebral nature, 4K would just enhance the hell out of it. It would just make it 10 times better.
I don't know if I'd say, like, Apocalypse Now is super cerebral when, like, the helicopters are, like, assaulting,
Well, you know what I mean. Picturesque,
you mean? Like visually?
Yeah. Trying to think of a better word for it. But do you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to get much if it's a simple comedy that's 4K.
Oh, sure.
It's that style of movie, so maybe action or sci-fi, that would probably help. But if you get, like, a comedy or, you know, drama, you're not going to get anything out of it.
Yeah, and, like, I've got, like, Bridge Over the River Kwai in, like, 4K, and it's, like,
I don't think that would be a huge improvement.
Mm. Yeah, it's not that big. It looks nicer and a little crisper, but it's not. Like, I don't know, I feel like I've never noticed... I'm starting to get to the point where I notice the difference between 4K and 1080p. Like, it's very, like, subtle. Like, but...
Don't forget OLED TVs are coming out, too, now, so...
All right.
You're going to have to adjust your eyes for those.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Looking forward to it, man. Gonna go spend $1,500 on a 70-inch OLED. Actually, who am I kidding? That's, like, $3,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, OLEDs are more, yeah.
All right. Any final thoughts on...
Wasn't the next one QLEDs? Are those next?
That's the same thing. That's just Samsung's version.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So,
we are moving on to
Fast Five, the fifth movie in this series. And this one takes place in Rio de Janeiro, down in Brazil. Entirely takes place in Brazil, this one, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Time for some stuff at the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the end stuff, which we'll get to.
But, so, I just have to start with this. Chris, I want to thank you for letting me into this world.
Yeah.
This movie has been what I've been waiting for.
Yeah. Right?
I was just waiting for this movie to happen.
And didn't I tell you things changed in this movie?
You did not in any way, shape, or form embellish that fact. They, like, flipped a goddamn switch.
Even the production looks different. Like, the quality of the film looks incredibly different.
It looks like they realized, oh, well, we've done four of these. We might as well make a movie.
Yeah, right? And I love how, like, even, like, all the, quote, race scenes, they just cut out. They're like, hey, let's go win a car. Okay.
Yeah, you know how this shit ends.
Exactly. Just... Like,
yeah. I think there's maybe one or two races in this whole movie, but it's not even like a race. It's just
an action sequence.
Cars. They steal cup cars. And
well, this is a heist movie now.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
This became a heist movie. Yeah.
And those movies, I think pound for pound, like heist movie, maybe like the best subgenre of like any movie.
Yeah, especially when they're. They're dragging the heist
through Rio.
Did you guys just take out a bank? So Sam, I'm assuming Sam loved that whole scene.
Oh yeah, I loved everything about this movie.
Yeah,
oh,
I thought it was like the weirdest yet perfect introduction to The Rock.
Yeah, ever. Right.
Oh my god, and like the acting in this movie, like how hard everyone was acting. Not well,
yeah.
Hard.
Yeah.
Like they were just acting so hard.
Like,
I don't think I've ever seen two guys try and flex their deltoid muscles.
Oh, that fight between Vin Diesel and The Rock. I was like, I don't know who I should want to win right now. Like, I like Vin Diesel, but it's The Rock. Like, The Rock can't lose a fight. But, like, this is Vin Diesel's movie, so he can't lose. Like, it's like, I don't know what's going to happen. And even got to the point where they're like, guys, you need to stop fighting. They're like, no, we're going to keep beating the crap out of each other. Oh, my God, like, it was great.
Like, the only thing I can think of watching this movie is, this is Beefcake Theater. This is what Shakespeare would have written if he was just spent all his time at a gym just taking steroids.
Just lifting.
But it's literally just those two who are like that, though. It's nobody else.
But what if, instead of writing King Lear during the plague, Shakespeare just got jacked?
And drove muscle cars.
Yeah, and drove, like, the sickest fucking car. So, I love The Rock in this, because it's like, do you think it was written for The Rock? Because it's very, like, un-Rock-like otherwise. Like, he's, like, almost entirely one-liners.
Yeah.
Maybe because, like, The Rock is, like, the protagonist in, like, everything else that's been made in the last 15 years, but, like, because he's never, like, the B guy anymore, yeah. Right?
Yeah, he's always the A guy.
He's never... No, but he's... So I think this is... This movie was wrote for SM said Beefcake Dude. It's right. Just, I think The Rock kind of slid into that and became that, that guy, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, because then he, like, squares off with Vin, who, Vin, like, we've never really talked about it, how he's, like, it's so weird how he's, like, the moral center of, like, the whole thing, too. Like, you know, this whole, like, he's going to take care of this guy's family or whatever. And he's just, like, full of wisdom. Like some, like Nos Yoda or something like that. Chris, yeah, I'm so thankful we can go on this journey.
Like, and then, like, The Rock's crew, who, like, apparently, like, the State Department just has SEAL Team 6 working for them or something?
Yeah,
they're all just, like, bounty hunters.
I need to know, like, what are The Rock's jurisdictions? Like, what is he allowed to do?
No,
apparently
idea.
Anything.
His jurisdiction is his gun.
Yeah, right.
It all sums it up at the end of the movie when the bad guy's, like, lying on the street.
Right?
They're just like, oh, well, he's just gonna go arrest him. He just walks up.
Cold blood. Just shoots him in the chest, like, 3 times. Like...
I mean, granted, like, he said at the end, he's like, that's for my team. But
still, like, he's still works for the U.S. government. I'm pretty sure he's not supposed to kill people in cold blood.
Yeah, whatever, man. Whatever.
So this is really the first movie, so to speak, where we've got the team, right?
Yeah.
Not The Rock's team.
No, the team.
And, like, I'll admit, this might just be Stockholm Syndrome, but it was nice to see them all together.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like this is, so the first 4 movies, as we've mentioned, have been just introductions to new characters, but this is, they all really play well off each other, and it just evolves into, like, this moving just organism that does certain things. It's really weird how they play. I never thought they would actually play off each other as well as they did, but for some reason it's all clicking. It's all clicking.
On all cylinders, if you would.
The two Spanish guys were there.
Yes.
And we, like, never learned their names or anything.
Yeah, but
like, damn it, I was happy they were there.
I know, they were fun.
Were they in the second one or something?
They were in the previous one, the fourth one.
Yeah, they were in 4.
Yeah. Don't fall in love with those two either.
Remember how remember the beginning of that movie when they were stealing the oil tankers?
Yeah. They were one of the...
That's who those two guys were?
Yeah, those two guys.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Could you tell?
I just find it very funny that, like, they keep having Han in these.
Yeah, okay, okay. Han is a fan favorite, correct?
Sure.
Why? Why?
Yeah, what does he bring to the table?
He brings nothing.
I think it's just level-headedness from Tokyo Drift.
What he brings to the table... is that scene that's been in every single one of these movies so far, so 2, where he goes, where he's like teased that he's going to go to Tokyo.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, and this one is the worst one. Like, oh my God, it was the subtle jabbing of that line at the end where they're like, hey, I thought you wanted to go to Tokyo. He's like, don't worry, we'll end up there. And, like, basically she just turned to the camera and be like, like, you get it, guys? And like, at that point, I was like, oh God, that is so bad. Like, why did they include that? That is so dumb. But other than that, it was very enjoyable.
Acknowledge that movie.
So. Yeah, I know. Like, remember Tokyo Drift? We're going to keep returning to that movie, every possible movie from here on out, just to remind you that Han
is
going
to
die.
Part of the franchise.
I know that. I know it's part of the franchise. It's also all out of order.
Well, I mean, shall I refer to the Star Wars trilogy?
It's more in order than...
Septology? No.
It's a saga.
Whatever it is.
It's a saga.
Saga.
It'd be, I don't know.
Yeah, but it'd be weird if, like, it'd be weird if, like, Empire came out and it was like, oh, this is what's going on, and then, like, the next movie is like, oh, yes.
I think you're just trying to die on a hill. It's not gonna happen. It's one movie.
I know it's one movie, but why is it the third one, and why did they do it out of order?
Sean, why do you care?
Yeah, the question is, who gives a fuck? And seriously, just take the hits as they come.
Yeah, I don't understand that they dragged a vault.
It's hitting cement pillars, but it's not slowing it down in any way.
They drove a doom buggy through a train and off a cliff.
Yes.
And lived by jumping off the car.
Yeah, how? Yes. They very, like, matter of fact, they were like, yeah, they're not gonna die from, like, plunging into the water from, like, a couple hundred feet.
Yeah.
Like, that kills, like, pretty much everybody. That's why people jump off a fucking bridge to kill themselves.
Listen. The car broke the surface edge of the
right. There we go.
No, they jumped off the car.
Sam's saying the car hit first, causing the ripples, and then they slipped between the polar bonds that create the surface tension of water.
How about... the car is so big, it would have just sat. Okay, we're not doing this.
We were using stupid science to explain this. don't try using real logic. I do have to say with this movie. So, like, I'm watching the movie, and I went on the Wikipedia page, and I clicked on the plot, and read through the plot, and basically it goes from basically them getting the team together. Or no, finding out that the money is being stored in the police station, to them doing the heist. Basically, everything between that is kind of pointless, and that's like a good chunk of the movie.
The whole thing was just a baby announcement. That was the whole point of that.
It was so funny that, like, even Wikipedia is like, yeah, none of this is worth mentioning. It's like,
whatever. You're critiquing a movie. This is a lifestyle. This movie franchise is a lifestyle.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a movie.
You just don't understand, man.
You will never understand.
You weren't there from the beginning like I was.
Sam, I've seen these movies before you. I've seen the first three, man, like, a long time ago.
I think I'm the only one who was there from the beginning.
Yeah, from the beginning, yeah. Like, if Sam cries when Paul Walker drives off, that's when I know he needs rehab.
And the next movie... So I've made it through without kind of watching these, because I know everything that happens. But the next ones I need to watch, because I'm definitely going to mix up the 6, 7, and 8.
Yeah, I feel like because there's no, like, new characters or anything, it's going to be
the eighth one, I just know there's a torpedo. And...
No, Sean, we got, what's his phrase, from Australia, like Chris said.
Jason
Statham, who doesn't show up for another movie. Like, the next movie isn't Statham. But yeah, Luke Evans is in the next one. I do know that.
The bowman from Lord of the Rings.
Is
or
he?
The Hobbit.
No.
He's in The Hobbit.
Oh, yeah, he's in The Hobbit. He's also Gaston in the live action of Beauty and the Beast. And he's Dracula in Dracula Untold, the first movie in the Dark Universe series.
Yeah.
R.I.P. What are you talking about? Invisible Man did well.
I did find myself, like, ironically liking this one, like, way less, and just, like, genuinely liking it.
Yeah, it was just, like, once you, like, let go of the fact, like, this isn't an actual movie.
Yeah, and it's, like, more just, like, outrageously stupid.
Yeah. Honestly, for me,
like,
it's...
They're, like, drug runners.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
It drops all pretense of, like, actual drama.
Yeah, it's just, like, we're just going to go for it.
But, like, for me, honestly, like, I think the biggest difference between this one and the others that make it more enjoyable for me is they basically get rid of the car racing. Because there's always like three or four races per movie. You know what's going to happen in all of them. So it's like the fact that they like skip over that, it kind of makes it more enjoyable. It's like, how many movies about pod racing do we really need? Like, you know who's going to win every time. Like, it's not a shock or anything. I mean, you did have that drag race, but I mean, like, it was funny. And it was, I mean, it was for $1 million. So, I mean, it was like a charity race.
Wait.
The role of Hobbs. Oh, sorry. I'm just reading the Wikipedia. The role of Hobbs was originally developed with Tommy Lee Jones in mind.
Oh, my God.
That is such a different movie. But that's like a top. I know what they're getting at. Like, yeah. That's like pretty much just Tommy Lee Jones and The Fugitive.
Yeah.
But, like, that's interesting.
So.
Oh, another thing. Every movie from now on needs a race to the favelas.
Oh, dude. Like, I just found it so cool how they're like, yo, you know what's really cool to look at? Brazil.
Yeah.
Like, they just, like, shot the hell out of Rio de Janeiro. And I was like, yeah, I'm into it, man. Like, I mean, it looks so unique.
I'm trying to remember if the Skyscrapers is the next movie.
No, that's two from now, I think.
Is it? Okay. See, you know what I'm talking about.
No, I know what you're talking about. I thought that was the next one.
Burj Khalifa or whatever.
Oh, yep, that's two movies.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, see, I gotta be careful with the 6 and 7 ones.
Yeah, well, you gotta start watching again.
Join
the party.
But, like, that was such an amazing scene where he had, like, The Rock, like, eating people while he's, like, running through the favelas. And...
Oh, I forgot the seventh one. Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. I'm just thinking. Anyways. Like, there's a helicopter minigun in The Rock.
He's so
excited. All you need to know.
I know. He's really excited about the seventh one.
And then, like, on the bridge, when, like, the bad guy's chasing him, and all of a sudden, the car has a minigun.
Yeah, right? Like, it just comes out with a dude on top.
Minigun. Like, alright. I know I'm, like, jumping around all the time, but it's just, like, so many moments of, like, alright, I guess we'll just do it.
You know
all
what
right.
I liked? So when they get ambushed towards the end, the convoy gets ambushed, and, like, they're getting shot at, and The Rock's like, I need to go save my men. Everybody's, like, undercover, like... He just walks out in the open and just, like, opens fire on everybody. Nobody's focusing on him. He's just standing in the middle of the street.
Gigantic man.
Yeah, like, nobody's focusing on him.
I'm also, like, pretty sure he was closing his eyes half the time he was shooting and just perfectly nailing everybody.
It was like the perfect spray and pray, but he never missed. Like, he was like, dead.
There is no prey.
Well, The Rock can smell, like, where they are because, you know, he smells what they've been cooking.
And then, like, that one of his men is trapped in the car and he's like, no, I must save him. And then, like, the grenade lands next to him.
And then the second grenade lands.
Because, fuck it, why not?
Because, like, overkill, why not? Like...
Fuck it, this is a second grenade movie.
And I just love how, like, that's the turning point for The Rock's character, where he's like, I'm gonna kill that son of a bitch now. Like, yeah. I'm on your side until we kill him. Then I'm gonna hunt you again. And I love, too, like...
It's really the easiest motivation to figure out, though.
Oh, I know. But, like, I love, too, how he knows where their base of operation is. And he's like, I'll give you a 24-hour head start, but you can't take the money. Then he opens it, he's like, they took the money. Rather than going to get them, be like, listen, guys, I really do need the money. Like, instead of doing that, he's like, I'll give them the 24 hours.
Yeah, but he technically didn't need the money.
I know that, but
he wasn't,
like, that
there
was,
to confiscate money.
That was part of his deal. He was like, you got to leave the money, and I'll give you 24 hours.
Yeah, but he was so smitten with them at that moment.
He's like, those rascals.
I think that's a poor thing to be held up on. Given that he just killed the guy right in the middle of the road.
Yeah, that was, like, that was incredible when he just killed that guy in cold blood. Like,
let's face it, the movie would have been a little bit more stupid if he actually let him speak and get him arrested and everything. It just cut out the whole thing. It's just like, I'm done. We're putting the bullet in him. He's done.
Listen, this character's not coming back. So,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
No, this one does not come back.
Well, no, he's dead. Although, well, I mean, it's happened before, Sam.
Yeah.
And based on the end, was it Letty? Letty's not dead. Michelle Rodriguez's character. Unless Sam didn't watch the mid-credits scene.
I missed the
credits. What? I almost texted you.
That's a callback to the Too Fast, Too Furious movie.
It was like, was it Ava Mendez like sits down at Hobbs's desk and she's like, read this file, this happened. He's like, oh, was it Dom? He's like, no. She's like, he's like, I don't want it. She's like, no, you'll be interested. And he's like flipping through, and then you see Michelle Rodriguez's face, and it's like, oh, she's alive.
No, and he's like, when was this taken?
Oh yeah,
she goes, last week. You got to get the words right, Sean.
Sorry.
Eva Mendes.
And she wasn't sitting down. She was standing up.
Yeah.
She wasn't standing up. She was sitting on the desk.
Yeah, she's sitting on the desk, kind of sexy.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, Chris, you got to get the positions right.
It's Eva Mendes. Of course she's going to be posing in a sexy way. It's...
Yeah. Yeah, you want to elaborate?
she does in every movie. Just watch every movie.
Like, watch Fair Ghost enough. Rider.
That's a chore and a half.
Anyways, yeah, this I mean, definitely a step in the right direction for me. I feel like we all actually enjoyed this one. It wasn't a rehash of other movies.
So I believe before this movie, I described watching these movies like chasing the dragon.
You caught it.
I was just like, this one of these has got to be good, man.
You caught
one
the dragon.
Of these has Oh, this was the best high ever. I caught the dragon.
Man. Is this your favorite movie of them so far?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely say this is my favorite so far.
Like, even when, like, the bad lines make me love it even more.
Oh, yeah, like, poor writing is, like, the best for, like, stupid action movies. Like, you need that bad writing.
Man.
We got more to go, Sam.
The one problem is like now I just want to keep watching these movies,
That's
man.
That's what you said last time.
Now I know that they're getting good. I just want to keep going.
Yeah.
Well, next week I think we're doing the six, right?
No, next week we're doing another classic. So, yeah. But next podcast,
I don't
yes.
think we determined that.
Don't worry. That's after podcast talk.
All right. Classic Fast and Furious 6, an hour-long discussion.
Dude, I can do like an hour long of these movies.
Oh, man. All right. Do we have any final thoughts on this movie or on any other topics?
Nope.
No?
Oh, man, this movie, man. This was like everything I hoped it would be.
All right.
Well, this is why I started this series.
That's good. That's good. That means now just remember, Sam, when we're done with this fun little experiment, you have to wait an entire year for the next one.
I know.
You know what? But at least I won't be going to the theater alone.
Yeah, you got me now.
See, what we did is we made a converter, so now it's going to be the biggest movie of 2021.
I think every movie is going to be the biggest movie of 2021 based on how few people are going to the theater.
The next year, I'm going to build like 200 pounds of muscle and shave my head.
Sam, you got to get a giant freaking spoiler on your car and get like the underlighting and stuff. Like, you got to go all out on that.
Spoilers. The cars get better now, though.
Well, yeah.
Instead of those stupid Honda Civics.
Well, yeah.
Anyway. Well, that was like the first three movies. Tyrese is driving around in Too Fast and Furious in a freaking Mitsubishi convertible. Nobody drives a Mitsubishi convertible who wants to go fast.
Yeah, not they're just mention. Crushing it in Mazdas in Tokyo Drift.
Mm.
I think Mazdas.
In a very, very oddly converted Mustang. Not to mention, I think the duty on that, just to ship it to the Japan, was probably a fortune. That a military guy could probably not pay. God, overanalyzing the movie.
Yeah, and you complained that I did that. Anyways.
Yep.
Falling into the same trap as I always do.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Nothing's going to beat Scooby. Well, okay, that was actually... That
I could go on for Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I know.
I have all the years of all the movies.
Want to do another hour of the podcast? I got nothing.
The Scooby-Doo? I can go for the Scooby-Doo
movies. I got more news we could talk about.
Oh, God.
No.
You know James Mangold's going to do the next Indiana Jones?
Yes, I heard about that.
Jesus, let's shut it off now before this gets really out of hand.
All right.
You guys see the Tenet trailer?
Music is on. I hope everybody enjoyed this episode. You can find us on Podbean, Stitcher, and iTunes. Facebook.com/KnightsOfNerdertube. So, until next time, I guess.
Bye. Corona's on us, guys. Some beer, not the...